So there are two readings, one longer than the other one. So the first one is Psalm chapter 8. So this is for the director of music. This is all to you, Chris, wherever you are. There, you're down there. Okay. According to the Gittith, it's a Psalm of David. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You've set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet. All flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Hallelujah. And just three verses from Genesis chapter 1. Then God said, let us make man and woman in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created him. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you are with us now. Help us to hear your voice over all the noise of the world, the noise of the news, the noise of our lives. Help us to understand more fully who you have created us to be, our responsibilities, our calling, and our destiny in you. Amen. The psalmist wonders, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man, that you should care for him. The question about what makes us human, what makes us unique, what makes us different from the rest of creation is one that's worth reflecting upon. Physically, we walk upright, we have opposable thumbs, useful. We have complex brains, and long, long childhoods to develop. We've developed languages and the capacity for imagination and a deep inner life. We tell stories that give us meaning. We've developed writing, made tools, and live in complex societies with moral codes. Humans have made art and literature, and write history. We are capable of amazing compassion. We've used our wisdom to develop things like medicine. And yet, we're also capable of violence and cruelty. We can create beauty and make things that work. but can also destroy that which is good. Humans are fascinating creatures. We've shaped the world that we live in so much that for good and for ill, our current age is sometimes called the Anthropocene. And how we use that word human might also reflect on the paradox of who we are. Because human is an interesting adjective. We might hear someone say, I'm only human, to describe or explain away or excuse a mistake. But at the same time, we use human to describe kindness and compassion, relatability and warmth. I think it's no surprise, for being human involves being flawed and limited. But humanity at the same time has such a capacity for kindness, for creativity and joy. Original sin? Yes. But original goodness too. And when we think probably about the people who we know most deeply, ourselves, our families, those whom we love, we've probably both seen them at their best and also at their worst. The psalmist wonders, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? But they also give us the answer. You have made them little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. Little lower than the angels, crowned with glory and honor. Not just the great and the good, but each one of us. Now take a moment, please. Look round, see everyone here. I wonder, how regularly do we think about ourselves or each other in this way? I know often my prayer to God is, Lord, help me, I'm a mess. Not, I'm crowned with honor and glory. And I wonder the difference it would make to our personal choices, to our interactions with others, if we did, acknowledging the inherent dignity, the value, the worth that we all share. The creation story in Genesis ends with the creation of humanity, and the writer there tells us, so God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. When I consider something like the deep political divisions of our own times, what we hear on the news, the shrill culture war that's there in the media, that so often denies the value, the worth and the common humanity of those who live differently or think differently from ourselves. I believe that returning to that faith and conviction that we've all been made in God's image and after his likeness, that each one of us is little lower than the angels, is vital and relevant. When we think about some of the things that can diminish our humanity, one of the things that I think is worst is rage. In rage, we lose control. And the adjective animal is sometimes used for what happens next. When frustrations, when disagreements and fears can lead us down the path to the sins of jealousy and wrath, it's important to remember for the person that I can't stand, who's hurt me. That politician I think is a danger to us all. Or the person I think is ignorant or privileged or had it too easy and I scorn is beloved of God and made in God's likeness. Our creation in God's image and likeness says something about our dignity. It speaks of our responsibilities too to the world God's created. But it also speaks of our identity, our vocation, and our calling. The first chapters of Genesis teach us, I think, three great things about God and the world. First, they teach us that God creates, and that God created the world from nothing. Second, they teach us that God is good. And third, they teach us that he made the world to be good. The constant refrain that I'm sure that you heard last week as you reflected on Genesis 1 was, and God saw that it was good. Genesis 1 tells us that the world is created by God and created good. For us as Christians living in the 21st century, identifying God as creator might seem obvious to us. But actually, not everyone in the ancient world saw things that way. Many believed that the gods were part of creation, actors with superpowers within a world that was just there. Most of the cultures around ancient Israel believed in many different gods. There were gods of love and war and wisdom, gods of fertility and harvest. There were territorial gods associated with specific cities or tribes or empires. You take the example of the ancient Greek myths. Their gods lived within the created order on Mount Olympus, and when you read the stories of them, they don't always come across very well, seeming all too human with their quarrels and dramas. These are gods that can be hidden from or tricked. Sometimes parts of creation itself, like the sun and moon and stars, were worshipped as divine. But this is not how the biblical writers come to see God. From Genesis to the prophets of Israel to the teaching of Jesus and the letters of Paul. St. Paul speaking to the philosophers in Athens in Acts 17 speaks of God as the one in whom we live and move and have our being. Naming God as creator isn't just something about the first thing that happened eons ago, but it is the basis of everything that is and is now. Last year in the Church of England, we celebrated the 1700th anniversary of the Nicene Creed. It's something that we recite at St. Luke's every Sunday, and that we remember in this week of prayer for Christian unity is shared across many denominations. And it begins, we believe in one God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. This proclamation of God as creator was partly a response to other groups on the fringes of early Christianity that together are called the Gnostics. They believed that the world had actually been created by a lesser God or even by the devil. This was their way of explaining the problem of evil. For them, salvation could only ever be a spiritual escape from our bodies and the grind of our daily lives. But Genesis and Psalm 8 speak of the goodness of God's creation, that however broken or damaged or cruel or unfair the world can sometimes be, and has become, however fallen and marred by sin, it is nevertheless essentially and ultimately good. Our world is to be enjoyed and is valuable. It's a place of blessing and meaning, not somewhere to escape or be saved from, but something to be loved, to be restored and renewed. It's why St. Paul again and again speaks about salvation in terms of a new creation. God creates. God is good. God's creation is good. So if we are truly to be made in that image after the likeness, creation, creativity, and the capacity for goodness are hardwired into our humanity. A verse that I love from the letter to the Ephesians says this: "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do." We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. I'm sure that I'm not alone in feeling a sense of joy when I've made something or made a positive change, whether it's in my church or made a positive difference to someone else's life. You don't do it to get the feeling. But there is something wonderful about knowing that you've made a difference. A feeling like you're living out of your vocation and doing what you were made for. The psalmist tells us, "You have made them, you have made us a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor." One of the reasons we often don't feel like this is because life as we live it can sometimes feel far removed from what really makes us tick. Filling in forms, worrying about bills, navigating and reacting to the stuff of life that just happens and is thrown at us. And sometimes it can feel that some of the things that make us most human are at risk of being lost. I know sometimes when builders come to St. Luke's and they have a nose around the church, they wonder at the quality of the carpentry, the skill and the carving that went into the altar rails and the altar table and the screens. And they might comment that skills that were once there in every community have now been lost with automation and globalization. Other times, when faced with the challenges of the world, everything can feel so big, and we can feel so small. My prayer for us as Christians in this neighborhood, here at Woodside Baptist and across the road at St. Luke's, is that we might reconnect deeply with that part of our calling as human beings made in God's image and likeness to be involved in creating things and making things, creating a community that is good, that can make a real difference for all who live here. And I pray that we will do so looking to Jesus as our grounding, our inspiration, and our hope. Now, Psalm 8 is an interesting psalm, because when I started off looking at it, I was aware that there are two different translations of it in modern Bibles. One is, "What is man that you should be mindful of him, the son of man?" And the other is, What are human beings that you should be mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. And these two readings, these two translations of the text, are, I think, powerful and speak a lot. Because that plural reading, I think, speaks to all of us. But that individual reading was used in the early church to particularly reflect on Jesus. What is man that you should be mindful of him, the Son of Man? Genesis tells us that we were made in the image and likeness of God. But too often that image gets lost in life's busyness, is marred by trauma, or disfigured by sin. So we can't see ourselves or each other for what we have been created to be. We can't connect with our deepest identity as humans or calling as Christians. I pray that when we feel far away from our humanity, we may reconnect it through looking to him. Athanasius, one of the great teachers of the faith in the 4th century, wrote this. So bear with me as I share his reflection. When the picture of someone has been painted on wood, but then damaged by the elements, we need the presence of that person whose portrait it was, if we are to restore the image. And if this material is not discarded, it is because we value and we wish to restore the image painted on it. In the same way, the most holy Son of the Father, being the image of the Father, has come into our midst to renew us who have been made similar to him. He seeks us out when we are lost, pardoning our sins, as Scripture says, I have come to search out and to save that which is lost. When we feel lost or unsure about who we are, what our lives are really for, I pray that our faith in Christ will help us to reconnect with our humanity, to see the humanity in others as we look upon his perfect humanity. Let us pray. Father, when we feel far from you and far from ourselves, or feel that our lives are little worth, reassure us and renew us in the identity that you have given us. May our lives as Christians here in Woodside, in Croydon, be a blessing and witness to your goodness. This we pray through Christ, whose perfect humanity has shown us how to live. Amen.